Good morning, everyone, and welcome again out into the Australian bush. Folks, it's a good day to be alive, but it's even a better day to know that our names are written down and our future is secure in heaven. Lord, praise you for that assurance and knowing for sure. Today, I want to start with another question. Does God pursue us? Well, I personally believe that God does pursue us, and I also believe there's not a place we can go or a situation where we may find ourselves that God is not already there. God will always pursue His children. But another thing, I believe that God will patiently pursue those who are away from Him just to get a hold of them and lead them home. So if you're one of those people who have yet to come to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, then God will pursue you, and He'll do that to change your life. And we're going to talk about this morning. But first, let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. It's a beautiful day after the rain. The sun's come out. It's a beautiful spring day, and the birds are enjoying it. Now, Lord, help us to focus that you, in fact, do pursue. You pursue your kids, and you pursue those who have yet to come to you, to where you can change their lives. Father, help us to see that today in Jesus' name. Amen. If you recall, I said there's not a place we can go or a situation where we may find ourselves that God is not already there. And I want you to go with me to Psalms chapter 139, and let me show you why I think so, and I do hope you can follow along in your Bible. Psalms 139, verse number 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Already we begin to see where God knows us inside and out. He knows all about us. But let's continue, verses 2 through 4. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You know, you understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all of my ways. There is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. But so in just a few verses of this fabulous psalm, we're starting to see that God knows us better than anyone knows us. And I believe He actually knows us inside and out better than we know ourselves. We can't even think without Him knowing our thoughts. We can't talk without Him already knowing what we're going to say. Keep that in mind, folks. Now watch closely on the next two verses. You have hedged me behind and before. You laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Listen, not only does God pursue us, but He stands in front of us and He stands behind us. If you'll think about it, that really does prove that God has wrapped us up in His loving kindness. That just makes you want to say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now let's look at verses 7 through 10. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. In the brightest of the city lights or the darkest places in the Australian wilderness, makes no difference. God is there in heaven or hell. Again, makes no difference. God, He is there. Now look closely at verse number 9. If I take the wings of the morning, that means the rays from the morning sun. Now, I don't know if you get out that early to see that wonderful sight, but as a photographer, I enjoy getting out to see the sun rays as they bounce around from the clouds. But listen, if I could ride the rays of the morning sun, God would ride with me. He will guide me and hold me wherever I go. Why? Because He said He would. Let's look at verses 11 and 12. If I say, surely the darkness shall follow me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. There are no dark places in God's care. Keep that in mind. There are no dark places in God's care. Perhaps you can feel like you're in the dark and all alone. But if you'll just think and sense, God will be there. Again, why? He said He would be there, so He is there. Now follow the next few awesome verses 13 through 15. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, that my soul knows very well. If we only understood the intricacies of the human body, we would fall on our knees and just praise Him. He has made us in an amazing way. Verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. He was there. While we were just embryos beginning to form, He formed those. He watched us. He saw us coming into an existence, and He controlled that. God is amazing. Now look closely at verses 16. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. Sometimes we think we're going through very unusual situations. Perhaps we're the only ones to go through them. Well, no. Other people have gone through them before, but more importantly, what we're going through was recorded in God's book before we ever breathed our first breath. Let that thought just consume you. That really talks about the sovereignty of God. He knows our beginning and our end. He knows the between, and He always has an answer for us. In the next few verses, David takes an Old Testament view of those who are against God and who turns their back on God. David had a real hatred for those who rejected God because he knew the eventual end of that kind of an attitude. But we know in the New Testament that we're supposed to love our enemies and to do good to those who misuse and abuse us. Now, let me repeat that. We know we're supposed to love our enemies and do good to those who abuse us. That attitude is so rare in our culture today. So I guess a cross-following Christian is extremely rare. Keep that in mind. So to help us find that extremely rare place, David suggests a prayer for us to pray, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Will we honestly ask God to search us and to show us what's in our heart? Will we do that? And if we will pray that prayer, God will show us where we have been separated or moved away from Him. And it might be an eye-opener to us. Will we respond and work out what He has showed us? Now, for those who have yet to respond to the grace and mercy of God, God has something special for you. We all know that no one comes to the Father except the Holy Spirit draw them. So the very act, the very possibility of coming to God is actioned by the Holy Spirit alone, and we respond to His pursuit in His drawing. But let's go back to the beginning to see where God's pursuit began. We know that Adam and Eve sinned, and when they sinned, they were separated from God, and they hid themselves from the eyes of the Almighty. God searched for them, and remember what He said, "Adam, where are you?" Well, we know God knew exactly where they were, but He wanted Adam to respond and admit what he had done before he suffered the consequences. But God, in fact, pursued them. During my study, I found a very interesting poem that paints a great picture of how God searches for the lost. That poem is The Hound of Heaven. The author Francis Thompson started his life with a desire to become a priest, and he failed at that. Then he turned to his father's medical profession and just followed dad, and he again failed. Anger and bitter, Thompson gave up on God. You ever been there? Do you know someone who is or has? We hear of that all the time. You see, Thompson ended up a derelict in the streets of London, and he suffered the agony of an opium addiction. That's what happens to people who give up on God. It is said that some of his friends snatched Thompson from death and brought him to the God he dreaded. Did you catch that? He dreaded coming back to God, but he came back to God, and Thompson got saved. And then he wrote this poem, The Hound of Heaven, and it described how God never stopped pursuing him in his darkest hours. Yes, God is the Hound of Heaven, and He will always pursue those who are away from Him. I would suggest that you read it, or maybe even listen to it on YouTube. From his own life, Francis Thompson proved that God will pursue those who are away from Him. There is one more thing that nails down the pursuit of God for the lost, and that is the old bloodstained cross of Jesus. If you have yet to come to Jesus, then please listen to what I'm about to say. The nails that Jesus felt, He felt them for you. The stripes that He suffered, He suffered them for you. The rejection He endured was endured for you. All that Jesus went through proves that God is following you. He's pursuing you. The Hound of Heaven is on your trail. So why do you resist? Why don't you turn to Him? Listen, let Him catch you and transform you into a much-loved son or daughter of His. When you make that decision to trust Jesus for your sins, then the presence of God will be with you for absolute eternity. You see, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life and all the way in and through eternity. You see, God does pursue all of us. And I am so glad that He does. Father, thank You that You pursued me. Thank You that You encouraged me to come to myself and turn to You. Thank You that Jesus died for me. And not only that, He's died for everyone who is listening. Father, draw them to Your side. Encourage them to surrender to Your grace and let You turn them into much-loved sons and daughters of the Almighty. And for that, we praise You.